God's word this morning begins in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which Yahweh your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear Yahweh your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as Yahweh, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our God, Yahweh is one. And you shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Our next passage is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now please take your bulletin and turn to the back, and we'll read together Psalm 11. Psalm 11. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. And a special good morning to dependent children. We'll define that in a moment, but children still at home, all the way down to the youngest children. This morning, God is going to speak to you from his word. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, now we come into your presence to hear your word. Your word is holy and just and pure. Your word is that which refines us and shapes us. And we thank you that not only do you speak to we adults, but you speak to our children too. Usually you speak to them through our mediation. But from time to time, you speak to them directly. And so this morning, you speak to them directly. Build them up to grow in faith and trust of Christ. And of course, even we adults, we're children too. So build us up likewise in faith and trust in Christ to live for his glory and honor. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning we come to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, to speak or to look at how God speaks to our children. If you would turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 says in one verse what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. In Colossians, he says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." And so you have a nice little summary there of what children are required to do by the Lord. This is what we want to explore this morning, and we will begin with some introductory comments. I have just a few introductory comments, and let me just say to the younger children, some of this you may not understand, but that's okay. Hopefully your parents will take some notes and talk to you about it, and there will be parts that you will be able to understand. So, introductory comments. Children are included in the epistle and addressed by the Lord. You think of the opening of the epistle, and Paul writes to the saints at Ephesus who are faithful, just saints at Ephesus, faithful in Christ Jesus. And you work your way through the epistle, and you come to chapter 5, verses 15 and following, and we're told that we're not to be drunk with wine, but to be being filled by the Spirit. And then we're told how that takes place, or how that looks, by singing, by giving thanks, and by submitting. And then there follow three cases of submission and obedience. In each case, the man is the head of his house. He has a wife, he has children, he has servants. All of these people are addressed in the epistle. Now, to understand that, we would have to draw some kind of analogy, some kind of comparison with Abraham. Remember, Abraham was given a covenant in Genesis chapter 15. And then in Genesis chapter 17, he was given the sign of circumcision. And he circumcised everybody in his house, those that he bought with money, those who were born in his house. They're all included. Abraham is covenant head. In this room, every man is covenant head of his house. And you come before the Lord with your house. God directly addresses our children in the book of Ephesians. Well, the second thing I want to say is that we are all children. Hence, these verses do have application to us. Of course, the application has to be made with some distinction. Because our obedience does not, at our age, when we're independent, does not go to parents, but it goes to our Father, our Heavenly Father. And we might just say, although we will repeat this again while we're talking, we might just say, remember, the way you obey your Heavenly Father, fathers, is going to be a sample, an example, to your children, how to obey you. If you give delayed obedience, expect them to give you delayed obedience. If you give grumpy obedience, expect them to give you grumpy obedience. If you partially obey, expect your children to partially obey you. And by such conduct, you will be leading your children astray. The passage talks not only to dependent children, but also to independent children, with distinction. The third thing I want to say is the passage, of course, is addressed to dependent children, because they're called to obey their parents, and they're called to honor both father and mother. Now, we don't obey, as adults, parents. We obey the father. However, as adults, we do honor father and mother. And the scripture makes that clear. So this commandment that comes out of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, still applies to us today, and Paul picks it up. So we honor parents financially. In their old age, when they need help, we take care of them. Paul tells us in Timothy that if we don't care for our own, we are worse than an unbeliever. So we do honor parents by taking care of them financially. Secondly, we honor parents by seeking their wisdom. We don't obey them, but we seek their wisdom. Because when you're in your 20s or your 30s and your parents are in their 50s or their 60s or their 70s, they've had many more years of experience than you. They know answers you don't know yet. And so you honor them by seeking their wisdom. So it's interesting. As I've noted, I'm coming up on 35 years. People come and ask the elders for insight, wisdom. I want to do this. What do you think of it? I would have to say that in most cases, I don't know what percentage. Let's just throw 75% out of there. The people do not listen to the elders. That's true when it comes to parents too, because we live in a youth culture that believes they have all the answers. And they don't think older people know anything. Independent children honor their parents by seeking wisdom. Proverbs is replete with such aphoristic advice. And then finally, as I've already said, independent children, they don't obey an earthly father. They obey a heavenly father. Who are the independent children? Dependent children. Dependent children are those who have not yet left father and mother to start a new covenant house. Now, of course, that gets a little murky because in Old Testament times, in a farming culture, there was no place for anybody to go. You stayed at home until you left to marry a gal, or you stayed at home until a man came to marry you. And under those conditions, then you were a dependent children. Today it gets a little murky because our kids may not marry till later, and they may move out at a certain age and live in an apartment complex with a group of fellows or a group of girls, and you hardly see them. But they still remain dependent. You can take all you want to take about what the United States says about age. Oh, you're an adult when you're 18. Hence, when your children go off to college, you're not even allowed to look at their grades, even though you're funding the project. But that's not a biblical view. The biblical view is adulthood really begins when you marry and start a new covenant household. Dependent children must joyfully obey parents in everything. Remember, Colossians says, obey your parents in everything. Dependent children are those that are newly born, not very good at obedience yet, all the way up to those who may be 18, 19, 20, 21, maybe even 25. Who knows? Now, clearly, there comes a point where there's going to be a break because some people today are gifted to be single. They're gifted to follow the Lord as single people, and so they're independent. Yet they're still going to seek wisdom from their parents. Dependent children are required to obey, and I've already said it, both parents. Not just father, but mother and father. And so, kids, when mom says one thing, it is not obedience to run to father to get a different perspective. Children, when father says one thing, it is not obedient to run to mother to plead your case for a different viewpoint. Well, I want to do this, and dad says I can't. That is not proper obedience. All right, then we want to talk about some important observations and why I distinguish them from introductory comments. I don't know. Just worked out that way. Okay, so some important observations. God has marked covenant children as his saints. Now, we're very used to looking at etymology of words instead of biblical usage of words. And since the word holy, saint, and the like, which have one root in Hebrew and one root in Greek, but we don't have that form in English, so we translate holy or sanctified or saint. We look at the etymology, and the etymology is the word to be separated. And it's true that a saint is separated. It's true that when you go into the Holy of Holies or into the holy room, all the vessels that are used within God's tabernacle and God's house are golden vessels. And so Paul tells us in Timothy to separate ourselves from earthenware and be useful to the master. Be golden vessels. Well, saint, holy, has to do with how close you can get to God. In 1 Corinthians, we won't take the time to look at it. We've talked about it before. When it comes to a mixed marriage, when one is a believer and one is an unbeliever, Paul tells us that the believing spouse sanctifies the unbelieving spouse. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now they're saints. Now, it may baffle your mind to figure out what that is. But let me submit to you that because you are a covenant family, they're included in the covenant. And when we draw near to the Lord into the holy room, children come with us. In fact, just in the study of Ephesians, it dawned on me that we have succumbed to the world's methods. Instead of keeping our children with us in the presence of the Lord, we send them out to Sunday school and we use our logic. Well, we can talk to them on their level. But of course, the one who needs to talk to children on their level is their father, not a Sunday school teacher. So that children sit and hear the word of the Lord and fall asleep, scratch their head, squinch around a bit. But they go home and dad says, okay, what did you learn today in church? Nothing. And he queries and he works because they're saints. They're little olive shoots around the table, which when taught properly, grow in faith and become strong olive trees whose wood is useful to the master. Children obey parents in the Lord. Well, you think of that word in. It's used a lot in Pauline epistles and in the Gospel of John to talk about people who are in Christ. In the Lord here probably, however, means in the realm of the Lord. So we can put it this way. Children do not obey another God. Our children are born into a Christian family, whether there's one believing parent or two believing parents. Our children are born into a Christian family, not a Muslim family, not a Jewish family, not a Hindu family. That's where our children are found. And children, God gave you believing parents. He's the one who chose that for you. He had you born, come to life in a home where you have a dad and a mom, or a dad or a mom, who follows Christ. He has especially marked you out as one of his own. He expects you to hear what he says and to be obedient and to grow to trust Christ and follow him. And your parents are the ones who are to lead you in that direction. Children, God tells us what children and parents should do in his word. How do children know what to do? Well, they know by their parents. How do parents know what to do? Because they know the word of God. And they hold strictly to the word of God. They don't go with current fads in philosophy or psychology. They don't go with the culture. So our families are going to stand counterculture to our society. That means, children, that your playmate next door may get to do things you're not allowed to do. May get to watch things on television you're not allowed to watch. Because you are in a Christian family. And God is marking you out to learn obedience, to believe in him, and to know him. Then let me put it this way. Children, you are covenant children. Now, when you're young, it's a little hard for you to understand what exactly that might mean. Maybe some, when they're older, don't understand exactly what that means. But what that means is your father is responsible for your mother and you. And one day he's going to answer before the Lord how he dealt with his wife, your mother, and how he trained you. He's the head of the family. You're in a covenant family. And not only is the head of the family in a covenant marriage, but he's in the covenant of Jesus Christ, which draws you in to the same thing. It doesn't mean you believe. It doesn't mean you will believe. But it does mean all the promises of the covenant are for you, so that you can grow through your parents, through your mother, through your father, to trust Christ and to grow up in him and live for him. Independent children honor their parents by obedience. So, Ephesians tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So, there's the word honor, and there's the word obedience. When you grow up like your dad and mom, you will honor your parents, but you won't obey them. Now, you're dependent, and this honor shows itself by obedience. And the word honor is a special kind of term. It's the term, we can't see it in English, but it's the term from which you get the word money in the Greek. In other words, when you honor your parents, you are showing how valuable they are to you. How do you show them that they're valuable? You do it by obeying them. Because they're teaching you in the ways of the Lord. They're telling you what the Lord wants you to do. And that's precisely what you need. In the Old Testament, we use a word, the word glory. It's much like the word honor. But in the Old Testament, God is glorious. And the word glory means heavy, weighty. In other words, a way of talking about importance. So dependent children honor their parents by obeying their parents. Remember, kids, God gave you these parents. I have 3-4 children. And my children in their houses do not all do the same things in the same ways. And it's easy for a grandson or daughter to say, oh, Mom, Jessica lets her kids do this. But you see, the one who's saying that is not Jessica's kid. God gave you the parents he wants you to have. And he doesn't want you to compare them with other parents. He wants you to obey them without comparison. And by the way, adults, we should hear that as well. Now I want to talk about the commandment with a promise. This is the first commandment of the Decalogue. Kids, the Decalogue means the Ten Commandments. And by the time you're 5 years old, you should be able to name the Decalogue. If you don't, your parents will go home today and instruct you in the Decalogue. I say that with a little grin. This is the first commandment with a promise. Well, this is bothersome to some people because the second commandment has a promise also. We're told in the second commandment that we are not to make idols of things above or things on the earth or things in the water under the earth, and we're not to worship them or serve them. And God tells us that He is a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation, but showing loving kindness to all those who keep His commandment to 1,000 generations. Well, you see, that contains a promise. We talked about it last week. It contains a promise within it. And so people aren't sure how they should take that. But let's just be simple about it. It's the first commandment with an overt promise. It says, this is the commandment, that with a promise that it may go well with you, and you might live a long time on the land, it says in the Old Testament. It doesn't say the same thing in the New Testament. It says that it might go well with you and that you might be long on the earth. So, dependent children, obedient children, are promised then two things. Children, listen. If you obey your parents, we're going to talk about what obedience is in just a second. If you obey your parents, God is going to promise you a good life. And God promises you a long life. Now, of course, there are exceptions. So everyone who dies young, it's not because they're disobedient, but for our purposes, we don't have time to talk about that today. So this is a commandment, the first commandment, with a straightforward promise. And the promise was made to the children of Israel, that if you keep these commandments, it will be well with you, and you will live long on the earth. Now, some of you youngest children may not know this yet, but you remember that the nation of Israel, or the people of Israel, were in bondage in Egypt. And they were slaves in Egypt, and God delivered them, and they crossed the Red Sea. And they went through the wilderness, and eventually they came into the promised land. They had their own land, just like you have your own land. It's called the land of the United States. That's your land. But God told them, if you're disobedient to me and unfaithful, I am going to puke you out of the land. Do you hear that, children? Most of you have had a session of throwing up, I'm assuming. It's a wonderful experience, is it not? It cleanses your body, gets out the bad stuff. After a while, you feel better. That's the way the land of Israel was. When the children of Israel were disobedient, they're the bad stuff. And so God vomited them out of the land. If God did that to us today, that would mean we would lose our houses. And your parents, your dads would lose their jobs. And we'd have to go to some other country. That happens to people around the world. People in Syria right now are being vomited out of the land. It's not a very nice experience. But children, God promises that if you're obedient to your parents, you're going to have a good life. And you're going to have a long life. Then notice, children, you may not understand this, but your parents will. There is unity between the old covenant and the new covenant. Sometimes we hastily set aside what the Old Testament says. But when we come to the new covenant, it doesn't mean that the old is completely changed. So you see, our promise here is a little different. In the old covenant, the promise was that if Israel was obedient, they would keep their land, that place known as the promised land, Israel. But our promise today, children, is that you'll live long on the earth. Because now God's people has extended beyond what God promised to Jewish people. And in the new Israel, the promise now is that we will inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. We're going to rule over the entire earth. And that comes from being obedient to parents. Obedience is the right thing to do, and obedience is what pleases God. And kids, you know that at your own house. You know that when you obey your parents, generally speaking, things are better at home. When you're disobedient, times can get rough. The stick might whack you. You might be sad. But when we are obedient, we know we're doing the right thing. Not only that, kids, when we're obedient, whether we're 5 years old or 3 years old or 18 years old, we know that mom and dad are pleased with us. When we're disobedient, we know that mom and dad are not pleased with us. So it is with the Lord. God is pleased with us when we do what he says. And for you children, what he says is, obey your parents. Children must obey in order to believe God, and children must obey because they believe God. Now, what I'm trying to get at there is, when you are very little, you may not quite yet understand trusting in God, believing in God. But as you obey, you will learn what it means to trust Christ. So as you obey, you will grow into faith in Christ. You will believe what he says, and you will want to do it. When I say children must obey because they believe God, when you realize, yes, I believe what Jesus did for me on the cross, then you recognize that everything God says is true and right and beneficial. And so you will obey because you believe. Children obey to honor parents, but more importantly, they obey to honor God. So there's a story back in Exodus about Moses, and God is calling Moses to lead the nation of Israel out of the promised land, and Moses doesn't want to do it. And Moses says, well, I'm not very eloquent in speech, which was not true. He was eloquent in speech. Acts tells us that. He was just trying to get out of it. So God said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you your brother Aaron, and he will be your spokesman. You will be like God to him, and he will be your spokesman. Now, God is in heaven, and we don't hear him talking, except when our dads and moms talk to us from his word. Then he's talking to us. God is God, and your parents are his spokesman. Now I forgot what I was going to say. What a thing, huh? Just a minute, I got to find my point. Ah, yes. Children obey to honor parents, but also to honor God. So what I'm saying to you, like Moses was God to Aaron, he told Aaron what to say and Aaron said it, so your parents are like God to you. God tells them what to teach you, and they teach it to you. So they're kind of like God to you. When you obey your parents, you're obeying God. And when you obey, as we've already said, you are showing that your parents are valuable. You honor them. When you obey, more importantly, since your parents are giving to you God's word, you are honoring God. And if parents in this room are not giving their children God's word, well, what shall we say? Shame on you. You are leading your children astray. Finally, this is, children, the part that you must understand. So pay attention. Okay, Piper? Ha 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 ha. What is obedience? What does it look like? Now, I must tell you that I stole this from someone else. So what I'm about to tell you, it's intuitive. I mean, if you think about it, this is true. But I read it and I said, that's pretty good. I think I'll take that. So I thought I ought to tell you, don't give me credit for it. Okay, grumbling obedience is disobedience. So your mom says to you, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to clean the bathrooms. Well, that's a smelly, disgusting job. And so you say, Mom, that's a smelly, disgusting job. Mom, I don't want to do that. Oh, Mom, don't make me do that. And then you go about whining about it. That's grumpiness. And that's disobedience. What God wants you to do is delightfully do what your mother says. Fathers, what God wants you to do is delightfully obey what he says. When he says, train your children this way, you mustn't say, oh, God, I don't really have time and I don't know what to say. I take them to church after all. No, say, God, I delight to do your will, oh God. If your children see you grumpy in obedience, they will be grumpy in obedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. Your dad says to you, son, what I want you to do is I want you to clean out the garage today and mow the lawn. And you go mow the lawn. You come back into the house and your dad says, have you done what I said? Yes, Dad, I've done what you said. Your dad goes out in the garage and says, well, the garage is still messy. Well, Dad, I mowed the lawn like you said. Partial obedience is disobedience. Fathers, partial obedience in training your children is disobedience. We must give our attention to what God says and do it delightfully. I delight to do your will, O God, and to do it fully, not partially. If we do things partially, our kids watch us. They will follow our example, and we will thus lead them astray. Delayed obedience is disobedience. I can remember there was a child in our house that liked to delay obedience. Okay, I'll do that. And then, 4 hours, 5 hours have passed, and you go talk to the child. I won't tell what gender it is. There's a 25% chance you'll get who it is. And we'd say to them, well, you haven't done what I said. Well, I'm going to do it. I just had these other things to do first. No, we asked you to do this. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Fathers, If you're only thinking about training your children and you're not getting to it, you're delaying your obedience and you are simply disobedient. And God sees and God knows. And what God does is He gives a harvest where you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap from the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap spiritual things. Fourthly, deaf obedience is disobedience. You know, there's a way when a parent talks and says, I want you to do this, that children don't hear it. Or at least they claim they don't hear it. Well, now, there are occasions when that's really true. They don't hear. Say a lot of people are talking and your mom says, I want you to do this, and you didn't really hear it. Well, that's understandable. But children have a way of denying that they heard what a parent said. But the duty of children is to be ready to hear what parents say. Fathers, just like the duty of fathers, is to be ready to hear what God says. If we claim we did not hear, that doesn't get us off the hook. We're responsible to hear. And of course, we haven't really heard unless we do. That's what James tells us. Don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. Deaf obedience is disobedience. Number five, forgetful obedience is disobedience. You heard your parents say, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to go out in the garden and I want you to pull weeds. And then you run off to attend to something and then you never get back to it. And your father or mother says, oh, I thought I told you to go to the... Oh, Mom, Dad, I forgot. Well, you're not allowed to forget until you're 63. When your brain power is not growing, it's diminishing. So kids, forgetful obedience is disobedience. Fathers, forgetful obedience is disobedience. We hear the word of the Lord. We cannot claim, God, I forgot. I didn't know. No, we're just rebellious men. Our children watch us. They know what we're doing. They emulate us. Watch your children and you'll find out a little bit of what you are. Finally, rationalized obedience is disobedience. Now, this really applies to children more in their teenage years, maybe. You know, they begin to think, well, okay. I know Mom, Dad told me that what I'm supposed to do is make my bed every day when I get up. But after all, now I have a car and I got a meeting in 5 minutes. So my mom and dad would understand if I didn't do that this morning. That's rationalized obedience. I'll get to it later on. But you've excused yourself because you don't find the command of your parent very weighty. Rationalized obedience is disobedience. Kids, the way you honor the Lord, the way you show that you care about the Lord, is by being obedient quickly. Obedient joyfully. Obedient completely. This shows that God means something to you. This shows that your parents are important to you. Well, we're going to talk about this more when the littlest children are not in here. But just as a foretaste then, fathers, remember, the very things we're saying about what your children should do, this is where you have to reinforce with discipline and instruction. And if you find your child repeatedly forgetful in obedience, or partial in obedience, or grumpy in obedience, it's time to do something about it. If you do nothing, they will grow into the teen years, and they will be incessantly grumpy about obedience. They will be incessantly arguing with you about what you require of them, unless you get after it when they're very young and you're consistent. Never mind, you won't be perfect in it. You will be inconsistent at times, but when you recognize it, you must get back at it. Because what's at stake is whether your children are going to grow independent from you and really follow the Lord and enjoy being around you. So, fathers, we talk next week for several weeks to you specifically about bringing up our children in the discipline, child training, and instruction of the Lord. And the scriptures are very clear. We don't need to ask what to do of the scriptures. The scriptures will tell us as we see. Our problem comes from the fall, gentlemen. We tend to be a bit lazy. All right, then. I made faster progress than I thought. Some concluding reflections. Obedience enlightens the eyes. Now, young children, I'm sure you don't know what that means. But here's what it means. It means you can't know something, or you can't know the person telling you something, until you do what they say. So we're told that Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He came to experience and know God, his Father, by being obedient in suffering. Paul tells us, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. And I want to share in his suffering. In other words, to really know Christ, you can't just have a good life with no trouble. You have to have a life that you suffer because you follow Christ. Then you know more of Christ. When you're obedient, you will come to know your parents in a way you never knew them. When you're obedient, you will come to know God in a way that you have never known them. Obedience enlightens the eyes. Obedience is never complete. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 17. And I'm looking for it. Luke chapter 17. You remember it's the story that Jesus has told the disciples that if your brother sins against you seven times in a day, then, and he returns and repents, forgive him. The disciples say, hey, man, in order for us to do that, you're going to have to increase our faith. And Jesus says, well, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, be picked up and be moved into the sea. In other words, the point is, if you just have the littlest amount of faith, you have enough faith to obey. So Jesus tells a story about a man who has a servant, and he's out tending the field, caring for the sheep, and he comes in. You don't say to him, hey, sit down and enjoy a meal. You say, no, you serve me, and afterwards you can change your clothes and you can have a meal. And you don't give him thanks, do you? After all, he's only done what he's been asked to do. Look at verse 10. So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was, we have only done what, I can't read it, what was our duty. So that's the way life is. That's the way it is when it comes to parents. You will never be done as a dependent child obeying your parents. You can't even accomplish everything that they have asked you. And fathers, you can never be in complete obedience to Christ. If you could be, God would not pat you on the back. After all, you've only done what he's asked you. But when it comes to rearing children, we must be as complete in obedience as possible as fathers. So obedience is something that is never complete. The way you think and how you act must match. Remember, Jesus says there are people who clean the outside of the cup, but the inside's never clean. There are people who whitewash a sepulcher, but inside are dead man's bones. Obedience is something that has to issue from the heart. It's out of the heart that the issues of life flow. And we're told, children, that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let me put it in your terms. We're to love God with our feelings. We're to feel good about God. We're to love God with our thoughts. We want to think about God. We're to love God with all of our stuff. It all belongs to Him. He gave it to us. We're to love God with all of our strength. We'll do whatever it takes to obey God. Well, there's a kind of obedience where you just go through the motions and you may actually do what your parents say, but inside, you're mad, you're angry. Fathers, you may go through some of the actions in training your children, but at heart, it's not what you want to do. You don't delight in doing it. In fact, it kind of makes you angry. The outside and the inside of a Christian must grow to match. Children must be eager to hear their parents, just as men and women, we should be eager to hear the word of the Lord. We should teach our children to be eager to hear what we say. Not just, oh, no, not again, Dad. But, okay, Dad, if that's what you want, I'll be happy to do it. Eager to hear what parents say. And then, I've said this and have been saying it in different ways. Fathers, your children learn from you what obedience is and what obedience looks like. You are always modeling that to your children. After all, they come to hear church and they hear what God says. They hear what God wants you to do. And if you're not doing it, you're teaching them. You don't need to obey God. You're leading them down the path to destruction. Obedience is the sign of maturity. Getting privileges from your parents are not the sign of maturity. The sign of maturity is that you grow to obey your parents with delight. You want to hear what they say. You want to do it. You want responsibility. You want to do what your parents say. And you realize your parents are leading you so that you can be a mature adult. You come to maturity once you have learned obedience, the kind of obedience we've been talking about, a complete obedience, a delighted, joyful obedience, a non-forgetful obedience, all those things we've talked about. When you've reached that stage, you're mature. And then your parents will willingly, without your request, pass on privileges to you when you show your maturity. But what happens in high school, as we are thinking about breaking away from our parents in independence, we think we know what's best. And so we begin begging for privileges. Oh, Dad, why can't I stay out till midnight? No, I want you in by 10:30. Dad, I'm 17 years old. What's the big deal? But you see, if you are obedient with delight, one day your dad will throw you the keys and say, son, you know, I know you're going to a basketball game, and tonight you can stay out till 11. This is how the Lord wants you to grow. And so, I want to rephrase it. Obedience is the sign of maturity. Gentlemen, obedience to the Lord is the sign of maturity. Stand with me. Father, we thank you for the young children that you've given to this congregation. Children like Bella and Talia and Caleb and Joel and Isaiah and Sarah and Piper and Austin and Isaac. I can't remember them all, but they are precious gifts. Like olive shoots around our table. And you've placed them with us, believers. You didn't place them in a Hindu home or a Muslim home or a Jewish home. You placed them in a covenant home, a family that's in covenant with God. And Lord, you've given us a task. And you've given us the task in the man Christ Jesus to conquer this world. And it's going to take faithful families growing all around this world to accomplish that task. And so we pray for this small assembly that you would make us faithful in just this area. And then maybe you'll give us greater tasks. Sometimes we wonder why we're not growing. And maybe we're not growing because we haven't been obedient yet in what you've given us to do. So we ask for your blessing upon us with respect to our children. And we ask that men and women, but particularly the men, would repent and change their ways for unfaithfulness in this area. And we ask for our young children, from the littlest to the oldest dependent child, that they would hear what's been said and want to be obedient to honor not only their parents who give them so much, but also, and more importantly, to honor you. This we pray. In the name of our Savior, Christ Jesus, amen.